This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before we launch into the program itself, I've been asked to speak a few words. What I wish to speak about very briefly, inshallah, is just to sketch a historical backdrop of how we have come to where we are at the present moment. The non-separability, the inseparability of commercial life from the rest of our religious lives is something that has been underscored, underlined and emphasized from previous ummahs already up to this very present ummah of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala makes specific reference to commercial activity with regard to the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, Madian. Madian was placed very strategically at the crossroads of north to south as well as east to west. Very strategically placed and therefore very commercially active. This particular group of people were sent by Nabi, and this Nabi had a certain message for them. Part of that message was, rectify your commercial dealings. In any society, commerce flows like water, it will take the easiest path. But then wahi comes from Allah on the other side to rectify it. Because when it starts taking the easiest path, invariably and inevitably, the rich are going to start taking advantage of the poor, the powerful are going to start taking advantage of the weak. Then wahi comes to rectify this particular situation. When Shu'aib alayhi salam came to his people with his message, they said, okay, fine, you've got wahi, you're making salat, fine, you do your own thing, but أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ. The fact that you are making salat today, does it mean we have to stop worshipping what our forefathers worship? Now, this is, we understand, as a matter of necessity, that iman, salat go hand in hand. But they cannot be separated from the other side of life, which is commerce. Oh, al-naf'ala, does your salah, the fact that you are now practicing religion, does that mean that we cannot do with our wealth as we wish? That's exactly what deen says. That's exactly what deen commands, that you cannot do with your wealth as you wish. There is a law, there are rules and there are regulations whereby we should live part and parcel of this entire Sharia of ours. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 23 years erecting the edifice of the Sharia of ours, one quarter, if not more, of which is commercial dealings. Thereafter, in the Khilafah of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, it used to be said that despite the fact that commerce is such an inseparable activity of life, everyone, I don't suppose there's a single person sitting here that is not commercially active in society, everyone has to engage in some sort of commerce, be it taking a taxi or be it running a business or be it running a factory. Whatever it might be, everyone is involved. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, it would be said that لَا يَتَّجِرُ فِي سُوقِنَا إِلَّا مَنْ تَفَقَّهَ. No one shall trade, no one will be commercially active in this society until he understands the fiqh of mu'amalat, until he understands whether he can buy and sell in a particular manner, whether he cannot. 1,000 years went by and our law was alive both in the dealings of our people as well as emerging out of the courts of law. And then came along colonialism. The rise of colonialism meant the end of this law of ours emerging out of the courts and being enforced by the courts. What we found, our laws were replaced with Western laws. Dutch laws at times, British laws at times, French laws at times, but the courts were not enforcing and implementing our Sharia any longer. Our Sharia had been relegated to the level of conscience of the public. You do as you wish in your ibadah, do as you wish, no one will stop you from that. In your nikah and your talaq, do as you wish, perhaps to a certain degree they will seek to regulate, but you still get married in your masajid. Your talaqs are still being done according to your own particular affairs. The matter of mu'amalat, however, in this period of colonization, and our country is a very, very good example, it is one of the earliest minorities that were created on account of colonialism. From the time that Sheikh Yusuf alayhi rahmah was transplanted from his home country to this particular part, they started this thing of minorities that came about in the Muslim world. So we, our very presence in this part of the world is a testimony to 300-400 years of colonization of the Muslim world, the third world, so to say, as they would call it. Fine, be that as it may. With the removal, with the disappearance, when Allah so decreed, that the First World War and the Second World War should destroy Western economies to the extent where they could no longer run this large colonial empire, then they started gradually giving independence to those countries from the East and countries from Africa, etc., all over the show. Those countries then gradually started, those nations gradually started regaining some of the traction that had been lost. Sometimes in the area of Muamala, sometimes in the area of Ibadah. At times they would go ahead and reclaim a bit of the area of Nikah and Talaq. They would promulgate laws of Muslim personal law. There was one area, however, that would be left neglected, and that would be the area of the Muamala. Muamala, your dealings, your buying and your selling, all of this was still left to the public at the level of the conscience. It would not emerge out of the course of law. There would be no implementation from that particular level of the legal structures of the country. So what happened during this particular period of colonization was, number one, mystification about what exactly is Sharia. What exactly does not is Sharia, what exactly does Sharia instruct and demand in terms of our commercial dealings? What does it demand? And secondly, there was this matter of compartmentalization. I'm a Muslim if I make salah, zakah, sawm, and hajj, and if I'm married and divorced according to Sharia, and if I eat halal and abstain from haram, but mu'amalat, my commercial dealings, in which everyone is involved to the same extent that everyone breathes, everyone is involved in commerce. That was left alone. The sensitivities around contract, the specific elements that get poured into a contract to make it compliant, and when they are not present, that they render the entire contract invalid, sometimes to the point of being haram, rendering the entire income haram, those sensitivities were lost. They were lost on account of compartmentalization. The entire manner in which we conceptualize our deen was one of our ibadat, and a bit of nikah and talaq, and a bit of what we eat and what we drink, and that's more or less where we would leave it. Perhaps some adab, yes, and perhaps a few other things and cultural aspects, but that was about what it amounted to. During this period, certainly the ulama went on studying the mu'amalat. Up to the present day, they continue to study the mu'amalat. But, you know, sometimes reading the textbook of 500 years ago and trying to apply it in the world that we live today, it just appears to be an insurmountable task for a student 20, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, looking at where the modern commercial world is going and where mu'amalat appears to have gotten stuck in an ancient agrarian kind of world, they find it difficult making the bridge. Someone who looks at it might think of it as the Arab poet has said once upon a time, that أَمَّا الْخِيَامُ فَإِنَّهَا كَخِيَامِهِمْ وَأَرَى نِسَاءَ الْحَيِّ غَيْرَ نِسَائِهَا. It would seem the tents look the same as the tents of before. It's still a commercial world, but the people who inhabit it, they seem to be different type of people. I think that metaphor that the Arab poet speaks about is a bit distant for us. Let's come a bit closer to home. Our guest is from Durban. But if you go to Durban today with a map of 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, you will find yourself very confused. Very confused because all the street names have been changed. And I know we are on the same way. Lansdowne Road has been changed to Imam Harun Road and a few other things like that too. But if you go to Durban with those old names that you had once upon a time, you're going to be confused, very confused. To a similar extent, if you read our classical mu'amalat and you look at the modern world, then you sometimes find that difficulty of making the connection. The connection is there. The connection just needs to be made at times. And it is towards the establishment of those particular connections that certain scholars will eventually rise to that particular challenge. One of them being our guest who's present with us today, a person that I'm privileged to call a colleague of mine, a person that I am privileged to have shared the same field teacher with, a person who I am privileged to have a friendship with, Mufti Ibrahim Desai. He needs no further introduction than just being Mufti Ibrahim Desai. He is well known for his website askimam.com that has been delivering fatawa for probably something over one, probably close up to two decades now, and for a non-governmental organization, not affiliated with a major university or anything like that, it is probably one of the most active fatwa sites online. Those that know about it can testify to that. The level of industry that this man has brought to his work, and the level of industry that he inculcates within his students, makes it our privilege today to be able to sit in a presentation by him in order to demystify the mystification that has been happening over the few years, not few years, over the past 200 or 300 or 400 years, in fact. That connection needs to be made. The Muslim needs to be able to understand that first of all, there is no compartmentalization. When we are active, commercially active in society, that has to be according to Sharia. As I said, from the most mundane activities to the highest level of finance these days, the Sharia has something to say about it. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ If you yourself do not know, ask those who do know, because that link can be made, the connection can be made, and we can live according to Allah Ta'ala Sharia in every aspect of our lives, be it commercial, be it social, be it cultural, or be it pertaining to our ibadah. There is one other form of compartmentalization, however, that I wish to focus your attention upon. Compartmentalization once upon a time might have meant that my ibadat, yes, but not my mu'amalat. I don't consider that as part and parcel of my deen, but my mu'amalat. My ibadat, I most certainly do. There's another type of compartmentalization, which is a result of one particular aspect of the present commercial world. Our ancient agrarian system, where the farmer produces his goods, brings it to the market, sells it to the shopkeeper, and he sells it to people who come to his shop, that has changed to a certain degree. Institutionalization of the commercial world has taken place to a large extent. They called our own civilization, they called it the society of bankers without banks. We did not have banks, we did not have finance companies, we did not have asset management firms. All of these things have come about in the modern world. They're very much the product of the modern world. But what happens sometimes when you think of commerce, when you think of finance, when this term, much wanted term, Islamic finance is used, then we tend to imagine that Islamic finance is only that which is done by the banks, only that which is done by the asset management firms, only that which is done by the insurance firms, etc. And it has no bearing whatsoever upon the manner in which I employ the maid that cleans my house, upon the manner in which an imam is employed in a masjid. Many of those have to complain about Sharia compliance at the higher levels. If you look at their own personal dealings, the manner in which these kind of things happen, in which the gardener is employed to clean the garden, in which these mundane kind of activities are looked at, then that same sensitivity does not exist there. That kind of compartmentalization must also be brought to an end. It is that type of demystification, inshallah, which we seek to gain from programs such as these, so that we start once again looking at our Sharia as this complete, universal Sharia, the system of law that came from Allah Ta'ala that speaks to us at every step of the way. We hope and pray, inshallah, that this particular gathering should not just be the first of its kind, but should go on to replicate itself in further programs over and over, repeated to the extent where everyone understands in full what Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said once upon a time, لَا يَتَجِرُ فِي سُوقِنَا إِلَّا مَنْ تَفَقَّهْ وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات